Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Encounter family, I'm so, so happy, excited to share this message with you because I think it's massively timely. And here's why I say that, because I've been looking at this chapter, looking in my Bible, watching this content for a little while, and it's been kind of ruminating in my heart, marinating a little bit. And I want to talk to you about the Lord being our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. And I think it's really timely. I think it's timely right now that we think of in terms of Jesus shepherding our hearts, our souls, really being kind of dialed into just where we're at in life and what's happening. And so when I look at John chapter 10, this is where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." I think this is really powerful because when we read through some of this content, it's interesting what Jesus says, because when he talks about the good shepherd, he says a couple things that are really important to us. Number one, in verse 3, he says, "My sheep know my voice. I know my sheep." And here's the thing. Jesus says in verse 3, "I know my sheep by name." And the idea is, when you go back in history, these shepherds would call their sheep. They would co-mingle with all the other shepherds' flocks at nighttime. And then in the daytime, they would call their own sheep by name. "Hey, Larry, hey, Julie, hey, Frida," whoever. And the sheep would recognize, and the shepherd would call them by name. And Jesus knows your name. He knows you by name, not just, "Hey, you," or "Hey, one of the many." He knows your name. And Jesus says that in verse 3. He also says that in verse 4, that the sheep, his sheep, know his voice. That we know Jesus' voice, that when Jesus speaks to us, there we can have confidence and security. You're like, "Well, how do I know Jesus' voice? How do I distinguish that?" We're going to talk about that in just a little minute. But Jesus tells us in verse 4 that we know his voice. And then he says this in verse 5. I really like this. He says, "The sheep run away from a stranger's voice." So when the stranger comes in and tries to get the sheep and corral the sheep, they run away because they're not familiar, they're not comfortable. A stranger makes them repel, run and hide, if you will. It can be fear or whatever, but the sheep don't follow. They run away from the stranger's voice. And then I love this. Jesus continues talking about him being our good shepherd, not just a shepherd, but our good shepherd. Interesting too. He does some contrast in John chapter 10. And I think these are important for us as well, because he talks about the unshepherd. Things, people, situations, voices that are not the shepherd. And he identifies several things that are not our shepherds. The stranger is not our shepherd. I just talked about it in verse 5. And then I want you to check this out. In verse 8, Jesus says, "Thieves and robbers, they come and try to hurt the sheep, try to jump in the flock and create chaos." It's interesting, thieves and robbers. When I think about this in the Greek, I looked it up, and a thief does stuff by stealth. And the enemy comes in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." And the enemy of our soul, Satan, he is the thief. He comes in secret, in stealth. He like creeps in real soft to try to not be observed. And the enemy tries to do that in our thoughts. And maybe you sense the devil doing that, creeping in just with fear, creeping in your weak spots. And he comes in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It also says a robber, thief and a robber. A thief comes in by stealth, but a robber does violence. This word in the Greek has it's the term lestis, and it means to violently hurt. And it's intentional, and it's very destructive. And that's the enemy of your soul, the enemy that fights against you, wants to come in both in a sneaky way, but also in a very violent, destructive way. And Jesus says, those are unshepherds. So let's be aware and conscientious that, hey, wait a second, the enemy masquerades, comes in quietly and tries to be like a stranger, tries to sound familiar. And then also, I think this is interesting. In verse 12, Jesus says, the hireling doesn't stay with the sheep. Somebody that's posing as a shepherd, but isn't going to hold the line when things get tough and rough. The hireling runs away. And sometimes if we're not careful, we follow voices that should be a stranger's voice. We listen to the hireling, and you know, they talk to us for a little while, but then when stuff really gets rough, they're not around. They evaporate. They get nervous. So the wolf comes in, and the hireling runs away. And this is what Jesus says: I am your good shepherd, and I want you to follow my voice. I want you to repel, reject the stranger's voice. But I think to help us do this, I want you to consider just briefly Psalm 23, because I think this is the best illustration of the good shepherd. And in Psalms 23, it says this: the Lord is my shepherd. And we know this, a lot of us know this verse, and a lot of us know this chapter, but I think it's very timely right now for us to think and consider and ponder, reflect on who Jesus is as our good shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That Jesus is our provision, the good shepherd, that he gives us what we need. I was reading in Matthew 6 just a few days ago, and Jesus talks about, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about tomorrow, because I'm here. And if you seek first the kingdom of God, then I will add all these things onto you. And Jesus says to us, let me be your provision. Instead of you looking at your own resources, your own efforts, your own intelligence, Jesus is our provision. And then he also says this: he makes me lie down in green pastures. I like that, because Jesus, it's like this idea of bedding down. You watch shepherds, and they'll come and they'll push down their sheep, because the sheep won't naturally rest and relax. But a shepherd beds them down in a green pasture, and Jesus gives us rest. He does give us rest. Family, if we choose to accept and settle into that rest, that's our own decision. But Jesus provides rest for us. And it's peaceful for our souls, peaceful for our hearts. Then he says this: he leads me beside quiet waters. I love this, because the idea is for a shepherd, the shepherd would find little pools of water instead of running water, because a sheep, because of their formation of their mouth, a sheep can't drink water that from a babbling brook. But a sheep will go up to like a little pool, a little eddy, and the water is still enough that the sheep can bend down and get water. And if you've ever had a drink of water when you're super thirsty, you know how that rejuvenates your soul. And Jesus wants you to know that he has still water, peaceful water, and rejuvenation for your soul in that place of rest as well. And then notice also what Jesus says. It says he restores my soul. That Jesus' presence, our good shepherd, brings us back to original design, rejuvenates us. And I think sometimes in life and in this season, we can have our souls get frenzied and upset and nervous and panicky and anxious and fearful and all that stuff. But Jesus says, if you let me be your good shepherd, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to restore your soul. I'm going to rejuvenate and give you fresh vitality. I'm going to give you fresh life. Oh, that we can rest, that Jesus is our good shepherd. And then I love this. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, think about it, this is the most severe hardship. And sometimes we go through difficult seasons and hardships. I think sometimes in this economy, it's a severe hardship. In this whole corona, it's a severe hardship. But family, Jesus says, even though we walk through that, I had a friend of mine tell me, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep walking, right? Just keep walking. And Jesus says, even though I walk through severe hardship, I'm not going to be afraid, because your presence is with me. Jesus is with us in the midst. And if you're struggling and you're feeling panicky and anxious, ask Jesus, please help me to recognize you. Help me to sense you as my shepherd, the shepherd of my soul. And then as you keep going, he says in verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemy. Jesus provides abundance, a feast, all kinds of nurture and refreshing and food and substance for our soul, even in the midst of our enemies. The enemy that says you're a loser, the enemy that's a stranger's voice, the enemy that's a thief, the enemy that's a robber that comes in and tries to do horrible things to you and bring back bad memories and emotional scars and traumas and pain. Jesus says, I will prepare for you an opulent feast. You can trust Jesus in the midst of all the enemy's efforts. Jesus says, it's okay. Even though the enemy's around, that's fine. You can sit down and relax and have an abundant feast on my presence, on my peace, on my provision, on who I am, because Jesus is our good shepherd. And then he also says this, "You have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows." That the Holy Spirit is with us. Anointing, God's presence, God's power is with us, anoints our head. And sometimes that's where the biggest battle is in our head, in our thoughts, in our perspective, in our emotions, in our feelings, in the things that we ruminate and think about. But Jesus says, I can anoint your head and give you a fresh outlook, fresh perspective, give you abundance, give you rest. And finally, I love this, "Surely goodness and loving kindness follow me all the days of my life." That goodness and loving kindness, the loving kindness of God endures forever, and it never leaves you. It's steady in every single second of every single hour, of every single day, of every single week, of every single month, of every single year. The loving kindness of God is consistent, steady, never changing, never increasing, steady and stable and constant. And it's always, the loving kindness of God is always with you. So when I think about this message and to encourage you in your soul, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So some takeaways that I would encourage you with is, number one, let Jesus shepherd your soul. Give Jesus the keys, access, opportunity to shepherd your soul. And to that end, consider, I would challenge you with that, and I think to help you with it, consider memorizing Psalm 23. Some of you watching are like, I already memorized it. Okay, I get it. However, maybe it's a good time to refresh it, rejuvenate it, go back and do it again, and just bring it back to your memory, because I think in this season, it was very helpful to us to see Jesus as our good shepherd. And then number two, are there any stranger, thief, robber, or hireling activities? Is the enemy masquerading in your life as a whisper, as a subtlety, as a suggestion, as a thief and a robber, a hireling, kind of a poser? Where is the enemy trying to get in and find breaches, find weaknesses, find bruises, find spots that are unsettled and tumult? Where is the enemy doing that? Because when you catch the enemy doing that stuff, you can say, hey, wait a second. You catch him red-handed, and you can say, I'm not going to accept that because Jesus is my good shepherd. So as we finish, I just want to encourage you. Something you might want to consider is, I read two different translations of Psalm 23. I read the Passion Translation, and I read the Message Translation. And I loved reading both of these. You might hop online and find each of them. It's easy to find. The Passion Translation, Psalm 23. The Message, this is a translation by Eugene Peterson, Psalm 23. When you read each of them, and you read them independently, and you sit with it a little bit, I think you'll find lots and lots of good substance, meat, encouragement, stuff for your soul. And let's remember that Jesus is our good shepherd. As we finish, I just want to minister a quick verse. And this is from Isaiah 26, verse 3. If you're watching right now and you have on a red and white striped shirt, I felt Holy Spirit wants to give you this verse. And in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says this, "Keep your mind and your thoughts set on Jesus, and you will have perfect peace." For this individual that's watching right now, you have not set your mind on Jesus. In fact, you've been distracted and worried and anxious and panicky and all kinds of inputs coming in. And Jesus says to you, you have a choice. You have an opportunity. You don't have to set your mind on all that stuff. You can set your mind on me. That's what Jesus is saying. And he will give you perfect peace. And that's a phenomenal gift. So I just encourage you, you have on a red and white striped shirt. Jesus wants to give you peace and help you set your mind on him, Isaiah 26, verse 3. So, thank you for watching. And, of course, I'm going to give you a finishing joke. This is, of course, a little bit of levity helps us in this time. So, I asked Reese, we're trying to do a garden at our house, which, if you know me, is like a disaster waiting to happen. But I asked Reese, I said, hey, can you brighten up the garden? You know, we need it to have a little bit more vitality to it, a little brighter. So, Reese went out and he planted bulbs. I know, right? It's awful. But I'm telling you, Sunday's going to be an amazing service. We look forward to seeing you Sunday. Thanks so much for watching.